Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. It is Red Men Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. I am Paul Machin. Across from me is sat Mr. Chris Page. Chris, how are you?
Gravy, baby.
Great. And Si is the man.
Not Sam Allardyce, though. You know, I've not got veins full of gravy.
No.
I'm just okay.
You've got to have ambition. You know what I mean? If you achieved everything in life, you know, before you hit 40, then what would you do with the rest of your life?
You remember that my life goal was to be retired at 30, and I'm not.
Mm. So exactly.
I've got nothing left to live for.
Nothing left to live for but filling one's veins with gravy. And we've got a kickoff question this week. Comes from Willow.
It's a doozy.
My elbows just fell off the table. If you're watching the video version, you might have seen a small moment of panic fleet across my face. The question comes from @TheJames1, or maybe TheJames1. I prefer, as you all know, it's the. Right, what I'm going to ask for, and I'm going to get Si to furiously take a note down on this, is I want some. I think we need some background music for this question.
Okay,
it's a first for the Redman Radio podcast. But bear with me on this; it'll all make sense in a moment. Right, okay, are you ready? The world as we know it is finished. Food supplies are almost depleted, and the world has turned to cannibalism. Bizarrely, you find yourself in the Melwood training facility and have a difficult choice to make. You know what I'm getting at. Who do you eat? Who do you eat?
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
You eat Trent Alexander-Arnold?
I like ribs.
Right. And he's all ribs.
He's basically just all bone, isn't he? There's not much meat. It's a manly feeling, biting down
on
a fucking
big bone. You know who else has got ribs? And also, he's dead big.
But you've not...
Virgil van Dijk.
You've not listened to the rest of my answer. Okay. I also want a toothpick for afterwards, for when I get on to the next person. And I reckon Trent's got, like, small bones that I could use for toothpicks and stuff. So I'm taking Trent first, because he's bony, essentially. And then, it depends how much free time I've got in Melwood's training facility, because if I've got a lot of free time and I'm comfortable in my own skin at this point, no one's going to eat me, then I'm going to go for Robbo next. But the problem with going for Robbo next,
gotta catch him.
Well, you got to catch him first and foremost. Yeah, great point. I've got traps, don't worry, and a bow and arrow, as everyone found out on the match day vlog. You're going to have to slow cook him, because he's a tough Scotsman. And I think that, you know, I want to get that out of the way early. So I'm making him into some kind of a casserole, maybe, with some of Trent's bone stock.
Some father beans and a nice bollock. Yeah. Look, it's straight up Virgil van Dijk for me. I just think, you know, if you're gonna eat someone, look,
take him down,
no,
man.
But here's the thing. Well, yeah, look, again, we live in a world where we've decided we've got the, you know, we're setting traps and Home Alone style traps around Melwood, but fatal.
Virgil's too clever for that.
The thing about it is that I think it's a waste to eat someone small, because you've got to base on that maybe some sort of help is coming, maybe something's going to happen.
But they're gonna die quicker. There's no science behind this, but there's not a lot of food about, and you know, I think Virgil could probably survive a little bit longer on just using up the fat.
But
in
my
his body
point
stuff,
is
so
that I'm thinking
you need
about,
to eat them while they're still alive, and then take down the big ones.
My point is still that I'm still holding out hope for a resumption of Premier League activity.
Oh right,
so,
okay.
You know,
so
I'm
you're
thinking
taking that, the centre back out.
No. But here's the point. Listen.
Hang on. He's the linchpin.
No, but I'm taking. I think I can sustain myself over a longer period of time on Virgil van Dijk. Whereas you're talking about, you've polished off the whole back four. Before, you know.
Are you kidding?
that's the end of the week.
I've just taken our two most strengthened positions. Yes. We've still got Klein and we've still got Gomez and we've still got Moreno. You've taken out the reason that we're so good this season.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. I think I've struck a balance.
You've left yourself with Klaver and Lovren.
Yeah. Actually, Lovren's probably a reasonable shout in that regard. Okay, I changed my answer to Dejan Lovren. Good size. And he's likely to die of natural causes by being haphazard.
Yeah.
So he's one of those like a final destination.
The woodcutter's
going to
get him.
Well, yeah, he's just as likely to decapitate himself. Yeah, running around, running away from something. So, you know, it's...
In all seriousness, though, if I found myself...
In all seriousness, if
I found myself there in the off-season, I'd take Bobby. Because he tends to put on a little bit of weight in the off-season, do you know what I mean?
Porch,
yeah, exactly. So it'd be a good shout for the off-season. But if you're in the middle of the season, I think Trent's a good shout. Sorry,
but wouldn't Matip be a similarly good shout if Trent's a good shout?
Absolutely, but he's bigger. He's harder to take down. I want to get my strength up from Trent. Right. I've not eaten for weeks here, right. Paul. You know what I mean? Okay. For a tackle someone like Joel Matip.
That's absolutely fine. Okay, brilliant. Okay, let us know by tweeting in at the Redmen TV, or if you're listening to or watching this podcast on theredmentv.com. In the comments section.
The easiest person would probably be Achterberg, though.
He does walk with a severe limp. Maybe there's a natural selection style thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? If you're hunting in the Serengeti, you go for the weakest.
Well, surely
you're
taking out like the dinner ladies first or something.
Yeah, probably actually. Yeah. Although, who's going to make you tea?
You?
Nah, I'll just keep them around to make me some nice brews.
Wow, I love that. I love the idea of them basically just like being in the indentured servitude.
They've never been outside Melwood. They don't know that the world's in disarray.
It's pretty secure these days, Melwood, as well.
Good place, actually. I'd never really thought about it, but yeah, I think that might be a place that high.
Random question.
Belvale.
Okay, sound. So just for those who don't share the telepathic connection that Chris and I have built up over the last 20 years. The zombie apocalypse happens. Where's the place that you go to? Where's your safe place?
It's a twofold plan. I'd start off with Belvale because there's loads of different shops and stuff, and there's loads of different things that you could get. I mean, Poundlands down there.
Problem with that, just straight off the bat. I've watched enough zombie films to know this. Belvale is never empty.
It's true, but they're all old. So no, you can get away with them.
Maybe. I'm not
it depends
sure,
what type
sure
of zombie you're
true,
talking about here.
There's a lot of the unemployed and unemployable staged, hanging around Belvale at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Stage two is to get out to basically where IKEA is at Warrington, and get out to one of them big food
depot
places. Yeah, I mean, you know, strength, good security,
good.
Shitload of food.
I like that. I like
and
that.
And some articulated lorries for fun.
So mine... was when I used to live by Allerton Road was the TA on Mather Avenue.
Weapons,
big vehicles, but also you're over the road from the Tesco's, but you're fenced in as well. So yeah, you've got that. But since then, I probably come to the office. It's not, you know what I mean. It's pretty well.
We
can get the gates working again. But yeah, no. I just to clarify actually before we move on, because I might have when I said, you know, Tuesdays are filled with the unemployed and unemployable at Belvale. Just to bear this in mind, I'm there too, which is why I know.
I'm spotted more in Belvale than anywhere else.
Literally, like between Belvale and Bootle Strand is the two places, the only two places I go outside of my house and here. Right, we'll move on. Run down of this week's topics. News and brief coming up in a moment, and we're going to be listening to a little clip from a podcast Chris did this week with Andrew Beasley, who's based Tune to Red on Twitter. Fantastic stuff, some really interesting stuff about Jurgen Klopp within there. Then we're going to be coming on Liverpool United coming up, so we've got a combined 11 chat, a little bit different to what we normally do. We're going to do a couple of versions of that, which will all be explained in due course. And then we're going to take some more questions from via the subscribers Facebook group. And from Twitter as well. We've got some absolute belters this week, including, it's like 2 weeks out of date, but it's Lukaku posited the whole, why don't we have an all-star North versus South game? And it's by Lukaku, I mean, Lukaku's PR team clearly with something to gain from it.
I loved that, like, the first tweet back was essentially, go ahead, like, but you're not getting
You're not getting it, mate. And just to clarify, I mean, we don't want to give away answers. Is Lukaku in any of your...
No.
No, of course he's not.
I don't think I've got a Man United player in my side.
Interesting. Stay
oh, I have, yeah.
Okay, Of course you have. Stay tuned for that then. Okay, news in brief then. Start with the footy in general. We're kind of skating around the Champions League stuff. It's tonight. There's no point in us talking about it unless we date this horrendously, which I've kind of done by doing that. But nevertheless, Man United play Palace. on Tuesday, their fans are now like pigs in shit, Chris, because they've like, how's her, what's third feel like? And it's like, literally, remember 4 hours earlier? It feels exactly like that, except we feel as though we're going to be higher than that. It's weird. They looked in big trouble. Paddle Palace were
terrible
really good.
First half, Man United, weren't they? And, you know, there's nothing I see there that scares me from that side. I mean, you know, people talk about them being a good defensive team and all that. I completely disagree. I don't think they've got the good defenders. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've got that very, very good players. I think they're a defensive side and they're not very good at defending either. Yeah, you know, it's bizarre.
Well,
like,
we said this about them when we did a big bit on Karius on the Final Word show this week. And I made mention of it, like the De Gea thing. And De Gea will come up a lot in this podcast, by the way. I love him. I think he's terrific. And I think almost undoubtedly the best goalkeeper in the Premier League and possibly the best in the world. He has to make a lot of saves, doesn't he? And they're the things, because I always talk about it, they're the things that stand out, because they match the day moment. Bits of smart distribution and positioning don't often make it into highlights packages, so you don't see that of other teams. All you see is David De Gea pulling out a few worldies a match.
He did it at 2-0.
Exactly.
He claws one off the line at 2-0, doesn't he? Yeah. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, you've just got yourself back into this game. But ultimately, he doesn't concede a lot of goals, does he? And that's what it comes down to. I think he's outperforming his expected goals against by like 9 this season, you know what I mean? And he's one of the only goalkeepers that's doing that in the league. Mm-hmm. He's certainly the only goalkeeper that's doing it by that much in the league. And you look at it and you think, that's a really poor Manchester United side. And for as good as a decision it was by Mourinho to change things up at half-time, it's his mistake that got them in that situation, and that can't be forgotten. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it, Mourinho's half-time team talk and his tactical changes. I'm sorry, but everybody knew that they were playing down the centre too often during that game and couldn't understand why Sanchez and Lukaku and who was the other four, Lingard, were playing in like a space of about 10, 15 yards of each other. Rashford comes on, sticks on the left-hand side and creates space for everybody else. Yeah. You don't need to be a football genius to work that out. Like, you know what I mean? I could see that from the telly.
Yeah.
It's mad. I think it's really poor management to be able to get to even go to 45 and do that. Now,
what was interesting for me about that though is when they moved on to that last 25 minutes of the game when they made the last push, the last changes and what have you. And the only reason they've gone for that is because, and I had a bit of back and forth with this on with some people on Twitter last night. Mourinho's looked at it and gone, I want to park the bus against Liverpool at Old Trafford. He'll be happy with a point against us, but he can't. He's not allowed to be happy with a point if that point keeps us above them in the table. And that's the reason why he threw everything at that match as much. I mean, because he doesn't want to lose a game for a start, but he had to go. That wasn't planned, and that wasn't a tactical masterclass what he performed against Crystal Palace there, because they could have lost that game quite easily. Putting Jesse Lingard at right back is not a tactical masterclass. It's him going, what have I got available to me? He threw a load of shit at a wall, and he's fortunate that Matic cropped up at the end for something.
Do you know what? He has been an incredible manager in his career, but right now and for the last 2 years, really, he's dated badly. Yeah. You know, and I look at him and think, there's no way in hell I would swap him for Jurgen Klopp. If they finish above us or not, it's irrelevant to me. It's irrelevant that they've won the Europa League. What he does is what everyone does on Football Manager. Mm-hmm. You go, you have an idea, and you just buy the best players in the world to go and do it. I don't think he's not picking out players and developing them and improving them, and he doesn't have to be fair to him. Because he's at a club where they can afford to do it. But going and signing Paul Pogba, everyone in the world would have done that. Yeah. You don't need to be the best football manager ever to go and sign a £90 million player and then one who's torn up the league 4 seasons on the bounce and scored 20 odd goals, and then Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you know what I mean? And these are players that are easy. That's like, it's just too easy. You don't need to be a good manager to make these signings, but what he's proven is he can't make a team out of them. Yeah. And they're getting by on individual talent rather than being able to create a team that's actually any good. When was the last time he created that? Probably the last time he won the league with Chelsea.
Yeah.
4 years ago, it was the last time he had a decent team. And let's be honest, still tail end of what he first created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to be fair, it wasn't a lasting success that he built, although, you know, you could argue Chelsea always remain there or thereabouts, don't they? But you know, he then won the league and fell off a cliff immediately afterwards. He has to go back almost to his post Porto early days at Chelsea as well. And I suppose I don't know enough about it, but he got that Inter Milan side built the way exactly to work to his
specifications. And he had like Sammy Eto'o running around up top and stuff like that, and that was incredible. But again, it was Sammy Eto'o.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. These are players. You had Wesley Sneijder, and you know, top draw footballers again, and in a league that really wasn't challenging at the time because of everything that went on with Milan and Juventus and all that type of stuff. You know, Mancini, I think before him, had won the league a couple of times. Or am I getting my timings mixed up a little bit here? But
not important.
Yeah, for me,
unless you're an Inter Milan fan,
he peaked 10 years ago and he got a really, really fortuitous run in the Europa League last season.
You know what he's becoming? Not this, all this could inevitably come back to haunt us, but he gives a fuck, it's footy. I think footy's moved on and he now is becoming he's still got his way. And look, it's working through the grid. Look, the second in the table can't be discounted. They win football matches.
The second on talent.
You know, they're there because they deserve to be there. You can't, it's hard to fluke it in the league. But I do feel to a degree his tendency to be a spoiler is exacerbated by Jurgen Klopp and by Pep Guardiola, etc. When it was him and Rafa, they both played in a very similar sort of way. So you had that tactical masterclass, and it was the accepted way of playing at the top end of the league. Well, there's been a status quo shift. That's not how top football's played anymore, and he is becoming a little bit of a relic. So inevitably, rather than upgrade what he does or change it up or refresh, he's playing. He's basically going out to try and. Yeah, I mean, look. Qualify this by you can win football matches however you want to win football matches, but I do feel as though you're right, I think the shelf life of that, I think it's coming to an end, and I don't feel as though Man United are going to be more of a power next season, because what are they going to do? Are they going to go and spend another 200 million? Yeah, they will, but what's that 200 million going to do?
Nothing. Is just going to increase the talent in the side, and that talent might be enough if they get better players than Manchester City. But where are you going if you're a player? Where are you really going between the two clubs right now? They're not the best team in their own city, never mind the league. Do you know what I mean?
They've got Romelu Lukaku, who should be top goal scorer in the Premier League because he's been it and he's got the ability to be it again. Alexis Sanchez, who should. He's one of the top players. Everyone wanted Alexis Sanchez a year ago. You know, he hasn't got a tune out of him yet, which, you know, again, new players settling in and what have you. Paul Pogba.
It's March, Paul. Yeah. If he's going to get a tune out of these players, he'll have done it by now.
Yeah.
Manchester United sides of old came out of Christmas and dominated this league.
Yeah.
This isn't a Manchester United side that's any good.
Yeah.
They're getting by on individual talent. He feels like a manager to me. And you know, he's talked about that book that he's carried around with him. It's like his Bible.
Yeah.
Feels like he found the fucking Bible. That's what it feels like. He found Bobby Robson's fucking tactical book or something, made a few scribbles of his own, went to Porto, it all worked, moved on to Chelsea, it worked because of the type of football that was being played at the time. Football's moved on. He hasn't written anything in that book for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. He's getting by on talent.
Yeah, I think that. And look, for it, and it's understandable to some extent, isn't it? He's become a super coach. And how do you? I mean, look, he probably deserves a bit of credit for what, like, Lingard, I think, stepped up massively this season.
Lingard's 25.
Yeah. But what I mean is, you can't say if he's having his best season yet. What I mean is, there's not a blanket he shit, everyone's shit under him kind of thing. Like, there's plenty of missteps there, by the way, which I could fill like a whole show with. But he's doing a few things right. But I totally agree, by the way. I think that, you know, what are you, if he's just spoiled. He's been spoiled with riches, and when it boils down to it, we've now got a Premier League where City have got boss players, and Liverpool have got boss players, and Spurs, but they've also got coaches who have got
the ability
to deliver a brand of
You're exactly right. Jose Mourinho has always had the most money when he's managing the Premier League, and he doesn't anymore. Mm. And shock horror, he's not the best anymore.
Yeah. Hopefully that continues this weekend. I would really like this to be. It would have been nice for us to, you know, for a draw to be enough to keep us in that space, but keep us second in the league, as it were. But so unlucky for Palace, like that. I look, we don't like Roy Hodgson. I think it goes without saying. Any
I really liked him last night for about 70 minutes.
Mate, you know, and some of the times I've watched Palace this season, they've been really exciting. You know, they've actually been far more swashbuckling than whatever. They're not like put 10 men behind the ball team.
They were counter-attacking really well yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. The only mistake they made was putting that Sorloth, is it?
Yeah,
who sounds like he should be raised. You know, you raise a Sorloth. By moving him out wide to try, you know, when they try to go touch more defensive, like
he was playing off Benteke really well.
Yeah, to be fair, like you know that he was involved in a couple of counter attacks, like but there was those chances when they were overloading down the right hand side, and you can see he's just like, oh, I can't be asked to go over and press. They could have done with a bit more energy, but yeah, really really unlucky. I mean, great goal from Matic,
unbelievable goal.
But yeah, it is what it is. Mo Salah, Chris, has donated £500,000 worth of equipment to an Egyptian cancer hospital. Apparently, is he genuinely the nicest human being on planet Earth?
Pretty much. Mm, I mean, for more than one reason. You think you know the man, and then he goes and makes himself better in your eyes again. Like, I mean, listen, what can this man, what can't this man do?
He's a lovely human being.
He loves a chippy.
He loves scoring goals.
And he donates.
He's dead generous with his millions and millions of pounds. Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant.
So here's one. It's barely news, but I thought it was an interesting point. The Football Insider, I don't know if it's .com or whatever, it's not important. I got this by News Now, and you know how amazing News Now is for a little bit of a clickbaity headline. It was like, Liverpool should need to go in for 35 million Colossus to do blah, blah, blah. And basically what they've said is, it looks like Spurs are being linked with Jonathan Tarr. They're saying, basically, he's the ready-made partner for Virgil van Dijk. Liverpool should go in for him. I'm absolutely all in on this, by the way. If you could get Jonathan Tarr for £35 million.
Yeah, I believe he's having a good season this season. He had a real downturn last season, especially from the season before when it was kind of his breakout year. That happens with young players. I mean, I haven't watched him for about 18 months. Probably his skill set is up there. You know what I mean? And you could absolutely see him fitting in. And he is the type of player that you think, wow, that could be a great partnership. And, you know, what Spurs' record for signing centre-backs is like, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
If Klopp wants him, go for him.
If
Klopp doesn't want him, don't go for him.
It sounds good to me. Apparently, Liverpool have scored the most 90th-plus minute winners in Premier League history.
I couldn't believe this when this came out on Twitter last night, mate.
30, which puts us comfortably top. Arsenal second on 25, and further down the list, because there's the Evertons of this world, and you've got Man United have only scored 19 90th-plus minute winners.
The only thing I can think of is that when Manchester United scored in the 90th-plus minute, it wasn't recorded as that, and it was recorded as in Fergie time.
Maybe that's just
and
it.
So they've got 50 in Fergie time
different box.
And 19 in 90-plus.
The problem is that what I suspect is, and without having gone through the list, we won't know whether this is just a hypothesis, by the way, is that Ferguson's team probably did them in more important situations.
Yeah, like 1999 Champions League.
Exactly. You know, like there's a degree to which we've probably done, you know, we've done loads of them. Great. I can think of a fair few, but there's probably on the way to doing what, it doesn't matter. We've done loads of them, great, but we don't want a fucking league title.
We're coming up on 1,000 games, I think, in the Premier League, all of these teams now, aren't we, at the top? And Manchester United have got far more points than anybody else. I think we're all going to break 1,000 games this season, I remember, from a Beasley tweet.
Season,
They're just not behind as much as us over the course of it either. You know, they did it in big games. It was that little belt, or we've had loads of little pricks down there. No. Yes, him. Like, him doing it in the running with a few games to go.
You know,
I mean,
what?
They did it in the running, and that's why it sticks in your mind.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's kind of the funny enough.
How the fuck did you get that side?
I was thinking about it when Matic scored that goal yesterday, that, like, Man United turning a defeat into a draw, into a win, is... That could, you know, we could be looking at that as the, you know, if we finish a couple of points behind United, that's got all the hallmarks of being the goal that does it. You know, your defensive midfielder scoring his first goal for the club with a 25-yard looping, was it right footed or ridiculous effort past the goalkeeper. So but Federico Macheda, what a twat. Before we move on, Chris recorded a phenomenal podcast this week with Andrew Beasley, the aforementioned at Bass Tunes of Red. kind of following on from our discussion about goals and what have you. And there was some really interesting stuff. I was listening to it earlier and I thought it was worth spreading with the wider world. I talk about where Jurgen Klopp as Liverpool manager sits amongst the pantheon of Liverpool manager greats.
Lastly, I wanted to talk about Jurgen Klopp and how he's stacking up against previous managers in terms of stats, points scored, goals scored. Any insight you might be able to offer us?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously doing very well at the moment. Lots of sort of 5-0s and 7-0s this season, which is sort of unheard of. I think he's had the most five-goal away wins by any Liverpool manager. When you sort of look at the stats from the league, this is Liverpool's 103rd season in the top flight of English football. And on a goals-per-game basis, it's currently the second highest scoring season they've had behind 2013-14. So the goals are just sort of flying in. Obviously, the defensive record isn't quite so impressive. It's the 55th best, so it's sort of mid-table, if you like, for the defence. But when you sort of combine the two, it's the currently it's the 8th best goal difference per game in those 103 league seasons in the top flight.
There you go, really, really good stuff, Chris. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in that podcast, but that was the thing that really. I think from all of these ones you're doing at the moment, I like that there's takeaways from them, and I got a real good feeling about Jurgen Klopp, because we know it already. We talk about it when you do the stats stuff and the stats and tactics stuff, but there's the difference between what it's nice when you have a feeling, and that feeling is backed up by statistics.
Yeah, exactly. And we spoke about loads of different stuff. I mean, the thing that I found most interesting was the shot quality stuff that we spoke about. Like, you know, I theorised a few weeks ago on Liverpool have been training shot quality, and Beasley, you know, man of statistics, a man who loves his XG and all that type of stuff, was like, yeah, I'm pretty fully certain that they are doing that. Like, so yeah, it was a great little podcast, great to chat. It was only supposed to be 20 minutes long, promised him, and we ran to nearly 40 minutes. Like, and I've had people tweeting us going, yeah, that just flew by.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. So yeah, if you want to listen to the rest of that podcast, which I highly recommend, go to the redmentv.com, join up. It's free for a month, so you can try all of that stuff. Got some phenomenal stuff going on at the moment. In addition to this, we have, you know, in the region of 20 podcasts exclusive to the website subscribers, including the Man of the Match podcast, which Tom's run at the moment phenomenally well as well, and a whole host of other things too. So go over there if you enjoy this and you want more from us and the Redmen team. Then yeah, go to the redmentv.com and sign up. Next then, Chris, let's continue with the Liverpool Man United talk, because I was enjoying that. Now, we haven't really done this season, the old combined 11. We kind of pulled it off YouTube because it just led to a load of hatred, because inevitably we're all dead biased towards our own football club. So if you put a fan of another team doing a combined 11, they're inevitably going to preference their team, and everyone's going to think the massive bellends, which is, in the case of some of the people we've collabed with over the years, is absolutely true.
Absolutely.
They're all lovely human beings, like you, but you know, we've all got a bit of bellend in us, especially, you know, Ross on a Friday night.
I apologise for him, Ross.
I'm so sorry.
Jesus, what?
I'm so sorry. So combine them. I thought we'd do it in two approaches, Chris. There is the on raw talent. It's the combined 11 that on paper is the team that you put out of you would amalgamate from the two squads. And then I thought we'd have a little bit of a chat about if it was left to you, if you had to take players and to slot them into Liverpool's team, what would you go with? So we'll start off based on pure talent alone, the on paper combined 11.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's David De Gea in goal.
Whoa, what?
Tell you what.
No kidding, De Gea.
Of course it's De Gea. Did you go with Valencia as the right back?
I did.
I went Valencia right back as well. Centre back partnership?
Matip and Van Dijk.
Matip and Van Dijk?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I put Bay in alongside Van Dijk. I think he's just better than R2. Weather is the thing, and this is why we're doing this in two ways. There's players in here that I naturally have kind of put it in Liverpool's formation. I don't know that Bailly would be a great partner for Van Dijk, but I know he's their best defender.
Yeah, I think I was very, very similar, to be honest, because I was looking at it, I was thinking to myself, Man United play a completely different way to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at least I'm comfortable that Matip can do that.
Yeah.
And I'd happily swap Matip in for Lovren at the moment, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't rate Manchester United's defence, really.
Yeah. Andy Robertson, left back?
Yep.
Yeah, cool with that. I've gone for Nemanja Matic, holding mid.
I've gone Hendo.
Okay.
I like Matic, I think he's a really good player, actually, but for what we do, I think he moves the ball a little bit slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, just in the pure, I put him in there because, again, if we were doing this on FIFA, I'm sure he's higher rated DM than Hendo kind of thing. He's got the league title thing going for him, the experience, and... You know, I can think of two worldies he scored in the last less than 12 months and only one from Jordan Henderson.
I don't think that was even 12 months, was it? You're thinking of the Chelsea one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was deadline season. Day, yeah. January last season, yeah.
So, you've gone for
four three three.
Who's the other two midfielders?
Yeah, I've gone Lallana's injured at the moment, so I've just gone Oxenchan.
So I've gone Pogba. And either Lallana or Ox, depending on whatever. Again, fully fit. Lallana of last season, definitely over Oxlade-Chamberlain. If Oxlade-Chamberlain plays like this, as he has been the last couple of weeks, that, again, pure paper, surely Pogba's got to be in there.
It's not just pure paper, though. I mean, I'm
we've literally just had five minutes of explanation that it is purely on paper.
But I'm taking into account his performances this season.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's as fair as anything. I mean, if it's attributes, Pogba all day.
Yeah.
But on form this season, Pogba's not impressed me.
Okay. Cool.
He's not doing a good job at Manchester United.
Is he not?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I thought he was shite last night.
Yeah.
Absolutely shite last night.
I wonder.
I think he's stifled by their formation, don't get me wrong. And I think he's a much better player than he's showing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, right now, you're all right, Tar.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The front three, does the front three pick itself?
Yeah.
Have you no other shouts for any Man United players?
Nope.
The only one is I've questionably put in, because again, just on the criteria, I've put Sanchez / Mane. I would have Mane, and we'll come on to that discussion in a moment. The Sanchez, just because, again, not Sanchez of this season, but Sanchez of, again, you're starting a footy manager game at the start of this season, Sanchez is probably in the top three or four players in the league. So I've got Sanchez in there, but it would be a very tight run thing. And again, if you judged it on Man United, Sanchez versus Mane, I think it's Mane.
Yeah, I think if you judge it Sanchez this season versus Mane this season, it's easy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving forward, and I don't know whether you've kind of done this already, because I was thinking about this and thinking about it in terms of Liverpool, because as much as that is a combined 11 in the purest sense. It's just pick the best known names effectively and shoehorn them into 11 positions on the pitch. For me, there's only two players, I think, in that Man United squad. Allow me to qualify this. There's more. I haven't worked out how many exactly I'd have in my squad, But in terms of improving our first 11, David De Gea is the only absolute nailed on one.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as mentioned previously, I feel that Baye's probably slightly better than Matip and Lovren. Past that, though, like, I like a lot of their players. I think Pogba's a tremendous footballer. I love watching him play. I love how, you know, you watch someone, they're just, it's, they're so effortlessly silky on the ball. I love that. But for Liverpool's midfield, I don't see that he's a fit. Hello.
I like Rashford. I really like Rashford. I'd take Rashford in a heartbeat.
But would he get into Liverpool's first 11?
No, he wouldn't.
I like Martial.
But he might do.
Yeah.
He might get into the first 11
Where would you put him? Because this is the tough thing, and I think Martial falls into the same trap. I think they're both best as centre forwards, but they're not being played as centre forwards.
Yeah.
And if they're not being played as centre forwards, I'd have Mane and Salah over.
Yeah, I mean, either of them. I'd have them just as a squad rotation right now.
I'd have them over Ings and Solanke.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to give Mane some rest at some point. Rashford can do that job on the left-hand side if you want. There's a few other players that I really like that would improve the squad. I've always really liked Juan Mata.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a great footballer. I can't understand why he's playing for Mourinho again, but he is. I like Ander Herrera. I think he's a good footballer as well. I think he'd improve our squad. Luke Shaw, I think Klopp would get something out of him.
Yeah,
I think he would absolutely be a good fit for Liverpool. I've got Pogba down as well. I've got Matic down, and obviously De Gea. They're the players that I like.
Yeah,
but
it's like Valencia. We both went for him in the combined 11, and yet no mention of him. Yeah, because again, I mean, we'll have to see what happens.
Stunts the development of the others, doesn't he?
Well, no, exactly. No, but this is the thing. He's Klein's younger than him. Like, Valencia's in his 30s now. Like, he's, and I think he is very, very good. And again, this will depend on what Klein comes back. Well, we won't know until next season whether we've got a decent player still in Nathaniel Klein. But I would rather see Trent get more game time, see what player there is left in Nathaniel Klein, and if needs be, continue Gomez's development at right back rather than bring Antonio Valencia in.
I agree with that.
And on the left-hand side, the Shaw thing, mate, who knows? Genuinely, because we're at the point now where the evidence, any evidence that Luke Shaw is a good footballer is becoming thinner, scarcer, and far more placed in the past. You know, it's becoming a distant memory. I don't know, you know, he just looks like a... He's got a massive arse, that lad, hasn't he? You know what I mean? And there's been so many criticisms about him. And you just wonder whether... I think you're dead right that Jürgen Klopp is the kind of manager, if you could get a tune out of someone, you can get a tune. He's most likely to get a tune out of anyone. But, I mean, when you consider they probably paid, what did they pay, like 30 million for him? If he continued on his development, what's that, like 5 years ago probably, that's he's gone for four maybe? Three or four? Do you go around the same time as Mourinho went?
Maybe.
He should be worth 70 million odd quid by now, just by pure inflation alone.
Got a manager calling him out every few weeks though as well.
Doesn't help at all, does it? And again, going to the midfield, Emre Can, Gini Wijnaldum, Jordan Henderson. These are not like names that, again, when you're playing FIFA and you're playing Pro Evo and you're playing Footy Manager or you're having an argument with someone on Twitter, these are not names that these are names that are very hard to use in arguments.
Yeah.
But we watch them every week. And again, everything's at Matic, bit too old, bit too immobile, better in a two. Doesn't necessarily have the range of passing, although, again, the aforementioned ability to crop up with a world, he helps. Paul Pogba, we don't know what his work rate's really like. Juan Mata, is he mobile enough to be, and does he have the work rate to play in our midfield? So, yeah, I think they've got some terrific players. They've got players that I like, and again, if I was playing a footy game, I would have no problem having control of them. But I don't, other than really, I think Rashford would be an amazing fit for our squad.
Yeah, Rashford and De Gea would be the two guys that you go out and you try and buy.
Yeah, you know what, about Rashford, it was a wider point I was kind of thinking about. We're going to come on to the Euro, the North versus South team in a minute, but I was watching Leroy Sané at the weekend, and I've been looking at Man City's squad of late, and I think, like, on paper, there's so many positions where we've got better players than Man City. But what we don't have is a Leroy Sané and what we do, and a Raheem Sterling, in that these two, because we've bought slightly older for our senior players. And I wouldn't, like a Rashford, like Man United would never sell him to us.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he'd ever want to play for us, but given how many top quality British talents we've actually got in our squad, and the fact that we do have that gap in terms of age of a 19, 20, 21-year-old lad who can play with pace from wide or coming through the middle, I'd be like, he'd be a real missing piece in our squad, someone like a Rashford.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, mate. I agree with that. Mm.
Fantastic. Well, do let us know what yours are, either using the comments or tweet us at the Redmen TV, of course. Got a few questions to get through. The first two come from the Facebook group. So if you are subscribed to the RedmenTV.com and you're not involved in that, send a request to it. Yeah, Ross has got a very stringent entry policy on Friday nights. And Dan Allen will choose your all-star Prem teams, North vs South, NBA style, by the medium of a Lukaku.
Did you go five players?
Using the NBA rules. I actually wrote out all the North teams and the South teams, and Leicester's very borderline. I gave Leicester to the North just for the 10v10 balance of it all.
Okay.
And then I did give consideration to just like two from each team, because you can't do less than that, because you wouldn't have enough players. But all told, no, my players come exclusively from three clubs for the North, and one, two, three. I think I'm the same. Three for the South. Just. Who have you?
I know, I think I've gone two from the South. Okay.
Well, let's go with the Northern team then. David De Gea in goal?
Yeah.
Of course. Right back?
Walker,
agreed. Centre backs?
Company and Van Dijk,
correct. Left back?
Robbo or Mendy.
Well,
yeah.
Pretty strong,
you know,
social media game. Like.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's Robbo.
We play Liverpool's formation?
Yeah.
Sure.
Fernandinho,
tick.
Silva.
De Bruyne and Silva, yeah. Sad. Ooh. Front three.
Salah.
Yeah.
Sane. Firmino.
The only debate I had was over Firmino or Aguero. Again, if Jurgen Klopp's the manager, in fact, you know what, even Pep, it's hard not to put Aguero in because he scores so many goals.
Yeah.
And it's him scoring goals has not necessarily hampered the other guys scoring goals. You know what I mean? Like, I think we had this conversation. Like, if you put a Harry Kane in to Liverpool's team, I'm not sure Salah scores as many goals in that season, because I think he's much of a fuck-up. Whereas Sterling's still like the fourth top goal scorer in the league.
But you've still got Salah in that side.
Yeah.
And Firmino sets up Salah a lot.
Mm.
So that's probably why I went for Firmino.
Yeah. Plus, it was a toss-up between the
two. Yeah, and listen, you're not wrong. Like, both strikers are unbelievable. But I think, for me, probably the one thing that separated it really was Guardiola doesn't want him.
Yes.
He just keeps on scoring goals.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Guardiola would take Firmino over him in a heartbeat.
It's interesting, isn't it? I can't wait to see. Let me phrase this right. As a football fan, as an unattached to a football team football fan, which I'm not, but you know, try to think in that regard, I'm fascinated to see what a Man City side looks like with Gabriel Jesus playing for a full season. To see what happens. Is he just a better Roberto Firmino? You suspect probably that's the idea, you know, at least equally as good. So yeah, I mean, obviously I can't disassociate myself, so I just hope that he's terrible.
I would like to hope that he's terrible too.
His poor version of Firmino. The Sané thing, I agree with that. I think he's tremendous. He is
Two runs in the last two games, yeah, against Arsenal, was it? And you just, they're almost a carbon copy of each other. And you're thinking, you've taken five players out the game both times you've done that. And he's just becoming such a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he's playing with so much confidence that he knows no one can stop him. And he's got that pace. And he's an incredible footballer.
He's like 4 years off it in his peak as well, which is terrifying. He is the most Cristiano Ronaldo like player, I think, in the world. Just the way he's built, the way he carries himself. He could play anywhere in that front three. It wouldn't shock you to see him, you know, do a Ronaldo and move centrally because he's so tall. Such a good player. Okay, sound. So yeah, that was surprisingly easy. South, I reckon there might be a bit of contention amongst
I struggled with this when I even changed the formation, and I'm not sure I've got my forward players right, to be honest.
Okay. So goalkeeper?
Courtois.
Yeah, Courtois. Right, the fullbacks was where I stretched this a little bit, because neither of the guys I've got fullback are playing fullback at the moment.
Yeah, well, one of mine isn't.
I've got Azpilicueta as right back.
Same here.
And I've got Marcus Alonso as left back.
I put Rose in at left back.
Okay. That's the only reason, because here's the thing. Again, Marcus Alonso's not playing left back.
I don't think he's that good.
But Danny Rose has been terrible this season.
I know.
And he's not even, in fact, he's not even their first choice left back at this season, is he? So it's, again, a pure. You take Danny Rose, because we know Danny Rose.
Danny Rose last
good.
Season was fucking superb, like,
for the half season that he played.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, Marcus Orlando. I mean, again, if you can manage to score as many goals as he does while still playing at left back, which I severely doubt. Yeah, but I mean, past that, I struggled with that one, to be honest. Like, I had Azpilicueta in at left back for the briefest of time, but then I thought I've got to find a right back, and then I'm going to end up with Kieran Trippier as my right back. And hey, listen,
I like him. Actually,
he's good, but I don't know. These teams should be as sexy as possible. Now, granted, I've got Andy Robertson in my North team as of you, which might unbalance that a touch, like, so maybe Mendy would have been the pick for that, just because you want to sell as many shirts as possible, don't you? You want as many people using the Snapchat filter from around the ground as possible. Centre-backs?
Alderweireld and Vertonghen, and I know Sanchez has been good this season, but I just like the pair of them.
Yeah, I've gone for that too. Okay, holding mid?
Kante and Dembele.
Oh, Kante, of course. I totally forgot about Kante. Yeah, I've got Moussa Dembele in there. You know what, I'll swap. Dembele's getting booted for mine. I'm going for Kante because he can do it on his own. And I want two attacking mids in. Who's your third midfielder?
I went 4-2-3-1, and I think I've remembered the other guy that I should have put in. But anyway, Ali is my 10, Son and Hazard, and Kane.
Is the person you've forgotten Willian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Ozil and Ali as my attacking mids.
Oh, mate, Ozil does not turn up in the big games. And if you're playing that north side, that's a big game.
Yeah.
I've actually it's worked out quite well, because I'm playing a 4-2-3-1, because I'm going to need to with Silva, De Bruyne, Salah, Sané and Firmino.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got Kane up top, Willian and Hazard either side of him.
You know what? I'm going to change that. I am putting Trippier in at right back.
Okay.
And I'm moving Azpilicueta
to left back.
Because, yeah.
Sure. Cool. I can live with that. It's interesting stuff, though. I think
I love Son. I think he's a terrific footballer, but he's not that right winger that I needed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the left side if he's up there, or he's a 10 with Kane at times.
It's mad because the talent I think is there in the south, but it's just not functioning this season. I think if Sanchez stayed at Arsenal, he might have gotten closer to this team, but I don't think he does now that he's playing for Man United, and he's been shit.
And then you got the likes of Mkhitaryan and a Boomerang and all that.
Well, exactly. Bobby, mate, he's so bad. His goals have been just the scabbiest things I've seen in my entire life.
You see him miss that penalty as well. A Boomerang than that.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was great. Brilliant. Again, if you want to interact with that, the best place to do this, really, because it's a bit more long form, is go to theredmentv.com. If you listen there already, then you can just go straight to the comment section underneath. But if not, then track us down. Get involved. Get involved on the website, because it's amazing. Jonathan Cook, Mr. Pajak, asks, apart from Mignolet, brackets and Chan, are there any current first team / squad players you could bear to see leave in the summer? He says, I'm struggling to think of anyone. I love this group of players.
I've got quite a long list, wow, to be fair. Now,
how many of these are out on loan at the moment?
Quite a few.
Okay.
But there's a big surprise in there as well.
Okay, let me see if I can... Give me a clue to your surprise.
His first name's Nathaniel.
Cool. Okay. So go on. Go. Talk me through your list.
Flano.
Yeah.
Grujic.
Okay.
Markovic.
Obviously.
Bogdan.
Obviously.
Sturridge.
Yeah.
Origi.
I forgot he even played for us anymore. Origi and Sturridge. Both true. Go on.
Klavan.
Yeah.
Klein.
Why Klein?
I think he's probably still the best right back at the club.
But
Trent's been so good this season that I'm comfortable with him there. And it's mad like, because even 2 weeks ago I was saying, you know, Nathaniel Clyne can still do a job for Liverpool. But the question was asked, and I wouldn't be asked if he went.
Yeah. I would. I think that's a stupid thing to say.
That's fine.
I think you've played to the controversial crowd there.
Not at all, Paul.
Nathaniel Clyne.
Honestly, right. I've got reasons for it. Obviously, Trent's been playing brilliantly, and I want to continue to see him develop.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Clyne's been out for the best part of a year now, so we don't know what type of player he is. If he doesn't get any games between now and the end of the season, getting rid of a player that's been out for a year when you've had someone come in and been incredible in every situation you've thrown them in, isn't that mad? You're attaching the name to it. And I think when you attach the name to it, and listen, Nathaniel Clyne's been brilliant, and you know, 2 years ago he was probably our best player and stuff like that, but we're a long time removed from that, and football moves on fairly quickly, so... I'm not playing up to the crowd in any way, shape or form. I'd have just not said Nathaniel Clyne, and I'd just gone with the easy shout. But I really wouldn't be asked. I wouldn't be selling him, but I wouldn't be asked if he went, and that's the difference, and that's the question.
Yeah. Okay, Sam. I would, because, I mean, look, this is all predicated around if he's still capable of playing at the level, because if he's not, you're right, I don't give a fuck. Because if you're not good enough to play for Liverpool, then whatever. Sell him before people get onto that and get some good money for him, because there'll be no shortage of suitors for Nathaniel Clyne this summer if we wanted to sell him. The problem with him, I'm so happy we don't have to worry about our fullback situation this summer. And I don't want that situation to change. I have never been happier with Liverpool's fullbacks. And the Trent thing, I agree with what you're saying, I still think there's plenty of football to go around in a busy campaign, because he still is very, very young. And I think the reason why he's looked so good this season is he's had a couple of absolute stinkers, and we've just took him out. And you don't see him for a few weeks, and then he comes back in again, and he's fine. Like, if his development continues... Imagine how good he's going to be next year, of course. But at 19, 20
for 40 games,
maybe. But at 19, 20, he's still not a senior age player. You still need, if you want him to reach his potential, like you don't need him to play every game.
No, we've not needed him to play every week.
But again, then it slides over to the Gomez responsibility, and then what are you buying in the summer? How do you go and buy? You can't buy. Unless you've left yourself with the impossible task of replacing Nathaniel Clyne, because how do you buy that guy when you're basically saying you're going to come in and be back up to a 20-year-old kid? You're going to have to... Can you get the quality you need to be good enough to play for Liverpool, but also at the same time have someone with the mind, with the right mindset and mentality?
I think we've done it this year at left back.
Oh yeah. But that's very much the exception rather than the rule in that situation, when you've got a good first team.
Not with the committee and the way they've worked since Klopp's come in.
Yeah.
But when they've identified players, they've been right.
Yeah. True.
Almost 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've managed to sign players who are older, like Ragnar Klavan, who's come in and been able to do a job when we've needed him. And that's not for 40, 50 games a season either.
But you're making life harder for yourself.
Of course you are. But if Liverpool were to sell him, I wouldn't be asked. Yeah. That's what it comes down to, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Jonathan's point on this, though, is that there's no dickheads in that squad. And you're right, the ones you've listed, the obvious ones of like Markovic, whatever, mate. You know, I'd like to know what's going on, what's happened with him. What is it that he fundamentally lacks? And when you read some of the and you listen to some of the stuff about Jurgen Klopp and how he does things, it's probably just as fundamental as he's just terrible in training. He just doesn't work hard, so he's not arse with him. I guess what you're right, in terms of could bear to leave. Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, for me, the scale of it is more, there's no bad apples, I don't think, in that group anymore. If they are, they're the ones that are out on loan, and I agree that most of the people are on loan, who's asked? They're not going to be missed. I would like to see one or two that are out on loan come back and impress, because, you know, you're saving yourself an absolute bundle if Shea Ojo or Ryan Kent are suddenly capable of playing first team football for you. Similarly, Divock Origi, to be fair, but you're right, I wouldn't be that asked. But there's no one who I'm like,
get
rid of him. No, we no longer Bogdan. Have a Mario Balotelli. Even he's so inoffensive, isn't he? Could you even, you know, until his name come up, are you really looking at it? Would you really, if you hadn't thought about it, you wouldn't, you barely remember he's a Liverpool player. Sure. You know, he crops up occasionally in the background of photos.
I'd be looking at my wage bill.
Stuff like.
Fucking Bogdan.
Yeah, no, yeah. I wonder what
Get
he's
rid
on.
Of him.
Genuinely wonder what he's on. I'd take that. Yeah. He's probably on about 10 grand a week, isn't he? And he's just loving life. His contract must be up. It's got to be up soon.
It's got to be. He's been here a long time. Like, and he's not even getting let into the game. People don't know who he is anymore.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, that story.
Yeah. Last question comes from Lee Carter Live. Bit of a random one to end on. Best album pre-90s. He's gone for Pink Floyd, Dark Side.
It's a great album, in fairness, Tim. I used to listen to it a lot when I was in university.
Say no more.
I've gone Sgt. Pepper's.
Okay,
I think it's a classic shout from The Beatles, yeah. And the only other one, and I've not listened to in a while, but I used to really love Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust by Bowie.
Yeah,
I used to listen to that a lot. And then you've got like The Clash and all that type of stuff, and I loved all them albums as well. And then there's some great 80s rap albums and stuff, but I think if it come down to it, probably the album that I listen to more than any other from that era is Sgt. Pepper's.
The problem is the pre-90s stuff is that all my favourite music is either from the 60s or the 90s or that early indie revival of the noughties. I used to always say, present company accepted, of course, Chris, that the only good things to come out of the 80s was Knight Rider, Metallica and me. And of course yourself, because you're right in front of me. But that Kill 'Em All by Metallica, like it's a special occasion kind of album. You know, it's not one you put in when you're making brekkie with the kids around anymore. Like, but I do have a soft spot for that. But it is a Beatles album, and it's Rubber Soul. Whereas I used to say, from an emotional perspective and a personal perspective, Sgt. Pepper's my favourite because I love everything about that. I had the cover. I love, like, I've done so much work on Peter Blake, the artist behind it, and just that was the first album I ever listened to. Revolver is in inverted commas the Beatles' best album, but Rubber Soul is my favourite Beatles album. So yeah, so that's it for me. Let us know yours. Si, what's your favourite pre-90s album?
I like Revolver.
Yeah, Revolver. Put you on the spot. I can't believe you're not paying attention. You've been running through your brain.
I've never think before. Smith's first album's good.
Okay.
Wish by The Cure.
Yeah, that's a great album, actually.
Cool.
Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life.
There you go.
Favourite 90s album
is definitely maybe Oasis.
Nevermind.
Yeah. It's a good album. Yeah. Nirvana. We're fucking spot on. Okay.
I had to check the dates on that one. Because that was
like
the
92?
91. I was like, fuck. I was so close. Because that would be it.
Yeah. So close, but not. Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, everyone who's listened. This has been Red Men Radio number 48. We're closing in on our first podcasting milestone. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for subscribing. As I say, do go over to the redmentv.com and get your subscription started. Now, I can't stress this enough. We are doing some amazing podcast content. All the stuff that we do in video form that we've been telling you about for ages, it's all available in podcast form as well, particularly the Final Word show, which is my favourite show of the week. Just sitting down, doing 45 minutes of an hour, talking about each match. Yeah, it was. You can get all of this stuff in podcast form, and you can now get the subscription podcast in your native podcast app on your phone. So if you don't want to have to log into the website every single time, you can just get it in your feed. Amazing stuff. Chris put some real hard graft in to make that a thing, and it is now. So yeah, thank you very much for everyone. Hope to have you listen to us again on the other stuff. Other than that, walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.